This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for staying with us. This is the Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Koo Suchong. In about 15 minutes, we've got the KLCI opening and analysis on world markets with Kingsley Jones of Jevons Global. But in the meantime, let's talk about Fitch's downgrade of Malaysia. Because at the end of last week, Fitch Ratings downgraded Malaysia's sovereign rating from A- to BBB+, with an improved outlook from negative to stable. First time since the Asian financial crisis that this happened. And it was a surprise to capital markets. Everybody assumed that ratings agencies would give more leeway to governments to increase their deficits and fight the COVID-19, but obviously that's not the case. And although Fitch acknowledged that authorities responded swiftly to the crisis, they say the depth of the crisis has weakened several of Malaysia's key credit metrics. So for more on this, we've got on the line with us Thomas Rookmarker, Fitch Ratings primary sovereign analyst for Malaysia and a director in the Asia Pacific Sovereigns team. Thomas, thank you for talking to us. Now, obviously what Fitch did was quite unprecedented for global economies. So why did Fitch downgrade Malaysia's long-term foreign currency rating to BBB+.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for having me on your show. This year, all countries basically face an exceptional shock. So many countries face economic contraction this year, including Malaysia's, and we expect economic contraction of 6.1%. We aim to look through economic cycles and temporary shocks when we look at the ratings. So now also we're looking at the structural impact of the pandemic, and some countries had stronger buffers than others going into the crisis. So the impact of the pandemic on the credit metrics is different too. So in Malaysia's case, the public debt was already high before the crisis, for instance, and the debt burden has increased further. As you mentioned, the government has responded swiftly to the crisis with significant relief measures for those in need, but the fiscal prospects have materially deteriorated. And in addition, the political situation implies uncertainty about the policy agenda and prospects for further governance reforms. But I think it's important to note that BBB+ is still placing Malaysia on par with Thailand and one notch above Indonesia and the Philippines. So it's still a good investment grade rating.
And Thomas, I want to drill in on one of the key matrices you mentioned, which is government debt. Like you said, it has deteriorated due to the pandemic. Now, you estimate it to jump to 76% of GDP in 2020 from 65.2% in 2019. But for the first time, I think you're actually really looking at government guarantees on loans. So why is this a concern and why the inclusion of government guarantee?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, we include those guarantees that are actually surfaced by the government. So the government is actually servicing this debt. And it's about 12 to 13% of GDP, so it's not insignificant. We started including the committed guarantees since we became aware of the existence of these guarantees in 2018. And this is in line with our definition for government debt. So we also do this for all other countries. Yeah, you know, that level of 76% of GDP is significantly higher than the debt levels of Malaysia's peers, and a higher debt burden, can in principle be associated with weaker creditworthiness of the sovereign.
Yeah, Thomas, staying on your recommendation on your outlook's change for Malaysia for the time being. Finance ministers, present and past, including Lim Guan Eng, has said that there's been a lot of patience on the behalf of ratings agencies like yourselves, and we expected it to stay pat for longer. But obviously, you decided to go contrarian and to downgrade. How much of this was due to the lingering political uncertainty that you mentioned in your press release that you said follows the change in government last March, and obviously harms governance standards and any further improvement in governance standards?
Yeah, so I think more broadly the credit metrics like the debt levels are a key reason for the downgrade and the impact of the pandemic on these kind of metrics. But governance also plays a role. So the previous government had taken some measures to enhance transparency of the administration, for instance, transparency about the assets of politicians. And this government has continued this kind of policies, to be fair, but political uncertainty affects the prospects for further governance reforms. And for instance, if we look at the governance indicators of the World Bank, those show showed significant improvements basically for Malaysia last year, but a slight deterioration again this year. And of course, we're forward-looking, so the political uncertainty plays in that regard.
Yeah, Thomas, I think you also point out rightly that, especially with budget 2021, a lot of dependence on oil, on the oil sector, including dividends from Petronas. It's a low and concentrated revenue base, as you point out. It's also, as you say, led the government to draw on dividends of GLCs to help buffer national coffers. What kind of details can you provide on that front? Which GLCs in particular, and how much more of a continuation do you think we'll expect just to see in Malaysia over the medium term?
Well, we've seen that the government used dividends of a number of GLCs in the past 2 years, and then especially Petronas, special dividends. And I mean, in a way, you know, it's good that you have companies that you can bank on in times of crisis. But yeah, you know, banking on GLCs or just oil revenues is very much concentrated, and for a more sustainable revenue intake, you would expect different kind of measures, especially since the revenue ratio is just 19% of GDP, so that's very low compared with peers.
And Thomas, you know, what measures then will the government have to take for a subsequent upgrade back to A-?
Yeah. So going forward, we will continue to look basically at the issues that we've just discussed in the past 5 to 10 minutes. So public finances, we're a downward trend in the government debt ratio. For instance, due to the implementation of a strong fiscal consolidation strategy after the pandemic recedes, obviously, that would be one of the issues that would have a positive impact on the rating. And the other one is structural issues, so an improvement of the governance standards through greater transparency and control of corruption, for instance.
And very quickly, just one question though, and I think it's very unlikely, but what would actually cause Fitch to actually downgrade us again?
Yeah, so that first of all, the outlook is stable now. That's an important point to note. The negative rating sensitivities are similar issues as what we're looking at for positive rating action. So a deterioration in the public finances and a deterioration in governance standards.
Okay, thanks so much for your time. That was Thomas Ruckmacher of Fitch Ratings discussing its and his downgrade of Malaysia's sovereigns to BBB+. I mean, so much to unpack here, but I think it's very much a structural reason why Fitch did it, and I think they were quite preemptive in doing so, despite what most of people assumed wouldn't happen, which is status quo. But what he says is very true, and the one thing that makes us different, I guess, from the Indonesians and the Singapores of this world, or even the Thailands of this world, is the political uncertainty. And the longer that happens, the less structural reform we can enjoy. And the less structural reform we have, the less we can broaden our sources of revenue. And it's a bit of a steep spiraling staircase downstairs.
Yeah, I think we entered into this pandemic already with structural issues, right? Yeah. With already high debt levels and questions over governance. So COVID-19 brings these questions rearing back up again, right? And I think the other issue that concerns me is, okay, Fitch has done this, but then does this mean that Moody and S&P will follow suit? And these are the two other rating agencies that we really have to consider. So the next question is, what's happening on the capital markets front? Is the ringgit going to depreciate? Is this going to make it more expensive for us as a country to borrow? Admittedly, our foreign debt as a country is quite low. We may actually borrow more internally through MGS. But does this then not, kind of cast a little bit of a shadow on our reputation? Because at the moment, we are the only country who's had a downgrade in this region.
Yeah.
Although, admittedly, it has happened in UK, to the UK, to South Africa, but less so in Southeast Asia.
It's interesting that Thailand hasn't had the same done to them, right? I mean, they've got their political issues, right? Yet, of course, yet. They've also been hit by the pandemic. Their tourism sector is in the doldrums. But, you know, it hasn't happened. And I wonder why, right?
I think the argument was that the debt levels Malaysia has is very similar to that of a triple B plus country. So we couldn't stay at A minus because when you consider all the government guaranteed loans, debt levels is about 70% over, which is something I think Fitch was worried about.
Yeah, of course. So we can't tell the future, but we do watch this whole space with huge interest. And hopefully we don't see yet another downgrade on that front. Okay, 8:59 in the morning. We'll come back after this with a KLCI opening and analysis on world markets with Kingsley Jones of Jevons Global, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.